Srila Prabhupada ki, Bhakti Vedanta ki, Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Giridhar Maharaj ki, Jainitai Go Premanandi.
Okay, so what did we discuss in the previous class? What else did we discuss? Vanashram Dharma. So in chapter 11, we heard about the qualities that every human being must have in order to practice Vanashram Dharma. Then we heard about the Varnas, just very quickly in general, especially about the Brahmanas. Then we heard about the duties of the women, the Stri Dharma. Then we heard about Varna Sankara, those who are outside the Varnashram institution. Then, chapter 12, we heard about the Brahmacharis in the first 10 verses. And then we heard about Vanaprastas in the final 20 verses or so. Then, chapter 13 is about sannyas ashram. So we've heard about sannyasis. And now, Narada, in order to explain to Yudhishthira Maharaj about the qualification and the consciousness of the sannyasi, he gives the example of the sadhu who is met by Prahlad Maharaj. When Prahlad Maharaj is wandering around the earth, he meets one sadhu who is taking the vow of the python, and he begins to preach to Prahlad Maharaj about detachment in this material world, which is the consciousness of a sannyasi. So we'll continue tonight from verses 24
to verses 34, and we'll hear the instructions of the sadhu as he instructs Prahlad Maharaj about the qualification and the consciousness of one who is in sannyas ashram.
Any points?
So far. Do you know who he was?
What his name was?
No, who he was.
The one who took the vow?
No, the one who was actually
it doesn't say so far. The Bhagavatam doesn't say, Prabhupada doesn't say, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur doesn't say. So I haven't heard who he is. Any other points?
Thank you for coming to my class, Hare Krishna.
Yeah, of course. Always something more important than hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam.
Sorry.
A thousand sorries will not rectify the situation. Verse 24. Because of an insatiable material desires, I was being carried away by the waves of material nature's laws, and thus I was engaging in different activities, struggling for existence in various forms of life. Shake up, Prabhu, can you please read?
As long as a living entity wants to fulfill various types of material desire, he must continuously change from one body to another. So Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur explains that as a small piece of grass falls in a river and is tossed about with different types of wood and tree branches, the living entity floats in the ocean of material existence and is dashed and tossed amidst material conditions. This is called a struggle for existence. One kind of fruitful activity causes the living being to take one form of body, and because of actions performed in that body, another body is created. One must therefore stop these material activities, and a chance to do so is given in the human form of life. Especially, our energy to act should be engaged in the service of the Lord, for then materialistic activities will automatically stop. One must fulfill one's desires by surrendering on to the Supreme Lord, for He knows how to fulfill them. Even though one may have material desires, one should therefore engage in the devotional service of the Lord. That will purify one's struggle for existence. Stop.
Continue.
Akama sarva kama va moksha kama udarade tivrena bhakti yogena vijate puratvaram. A person who has broader intelligence, whether he be full of material desire, without any material desire, or desiring liberation, must by all means worship the Supreme Court, the personality of Godhead. Then, Anya Vilasita Sunya, Jnana Karmadi Anavrutam, Anasujena Krishna Anusilana Tiruptama. One should render transcendental loving service to Supreme Lord Krishna favorably and without desire for material profit or gain through fruitive activities or philosophical speculation. That is called pure devotional service. Bhakti Sampradaya 1.1.11.
Any points?
So we are the cause. Our thoughts to come in this world again and again because of no material desires. So what we have to do is to change our desire for sense gratification into the service of the Lord. If he is pleased, we have to go.
Perfect. Any other points?
The root cause of material existence is because of our desire. The desire, what we desire, makes us transmigrate into different bodies. We should have, learn to desire more spiritually than.
Good. Anything else?
The step before desire is knowledge. If it's because of our ignorance, then we desire something material. Though I may say that, well, I'm not the body, I'm the spirit soul. That's only theoretical. I've not realized yet. Therefore, my desires continue to be material only.
Any other points? So, the material world is known as Durga. So, Durga means it's a place of struggle, place of misery. So, for a devotee, this misery or this struggle that we go through is Krishna's mercy. Because it brings us back to Krishna, because it makes us understand that we cannot enjoy in the material world separately from Krishna. As soon as you think you can enjoy in the material world as a devotee, Krishna gives you a reminder. Sometimes we... the enjoying spirit comes into our consciousness once again. And we think, I can enjoy. It is possible. And we try. But as soon as we try like that, then Krishna begins to remind us that there is no enjoyment in the material world. So, even for the non-devotee, the struggle of the material world is simply Krishna's mercy. He has designed the material world in such a way that we will forget... in other words, we will become detached from the material world. The material world is designed for detachment. It's designed to make us detached. So everything we experience in the material world detaches us from it. So then what keeps us in the material world, even though it's designed for detachment? Right? It is our desire to enjoy separately from Krishna. So even though it is so difficult to enjoy in the material world, still we become attached to enjoying in the material world. And even when we go through so much difficulty and so much struggle and so much misery, when the misery finishes a few days later, we think, oh no, it's okay, I can enjoy. Actually, I can stay here. I don't have to leave. So eventually, we have to become convinced that this is not our real home. We've been here for lifetimes already and still we keep forgetting. But this lifetime we have to become convinced that this is the last birth, that this is the last time that we will be separate from Krishna. So, Srila Prabhupada points out that the way to remedy the material world, or to fix the situation we have in the material world, we have to follow Krishna's advice in the Bhagavad Gita. Daivi hyesha gunamai, mama maya durachaya, mamevi ye prabhachanti, mayam etam tarantite. We have to surrender to Krishna. That is the solution. So instead of trying to enjoy separately from Krishna, use that. Everyone wants to enjoy, that's the point. That's the nature of the living entity, anandamayo byasat. You cannot separate enjoyment or the desire for bliss or ananda from the living entity, because it is, constitutionally, it is a part of Krishna. Krishna always wants to enjoy, and he always is enjoying. That is his whole existence, is just to enjoy. And because we are created in his image, we also have that propensity to enjoy. But we have to enjoy in Krishna's service. Just like we had Janmashtami. Hands up if you enjoyed Janmashtami. Yeah, so spontaneously, we were very happy. Did you like Janmashtami? What did you like about it? What did you like? What things did you like about Janmashtami? The drama. Yeah, so hands up if you like dramas. Everyone likes dramas. We like to be in dramas. Our whole life is a drama. We like to watch dramas. That's the whole world is drama. Krishna's pastimes are simply lila. Lila means drama. Nothing is simple in the spiritual world. Everything is a drama. Everything is a lila. And if you go to Bengal, it is also like that. The Bengalis are especially dramatic. Even just having lunch is a whole drama. Like that. I told you before, I go every year, I try to go to Mayapur, and I have lunch with my good friend Atul Krishna Prabhu. His wife is Bengali, she's from Bangladesh. The whole thing's a drama. You know, the whole cooking is a drama, and the serving is a drama, and then taking rest afterwards, that's a drama, and then everything is a drama. So in the spiritual world, it's like that. Nothing is plain or boring. Everything is dramatic. Krishna is very dramatic. Prabhupada says that Krishna dresses like a dramatic actor. If someone walked in here dressed like Krishna, then what would we think? We think, oh, they must be doing a drama. So Krishna dresses like that all the time. Prabhupada said he's like an actor going onto the stage. Everything is a drama. So, in the material world, we have to learn to enjoy in Krishna's service. Because the nature of the living entity is we want to enjoy, but we have to enjoy in Krishna's service. That's the point. Not that we have to renounce enjoyment, that's artificial. If you don't enjoy Krishna consciousness, then you will leave Krishna consciousness. So you have to enjoy Krishna consciousness, but it has to be dovetailed in Krishna's service. It must be for Krishna's pleasure. The kirtans must be for Krishna's pleasure, not for our pleasure. Prabhupada was in LA or San Francisco or one of those places, and there was big kirtan going on, right? And all the brahmacharis were dancing very wildly. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, and all the brahmacharis are going like Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna Krishna. So they're doing this big dance in front of, and Prabhupada was sitting there, and they're doing the dance, everyone was going, and Prabhupada stopped the kirtan. He said, stop, into the microphone. Prabhupada said, stop. So they stopped the kirtan. Everyone was shocked. And Prabhupada said, not like this. Prabhupada said, like this. He said, now do kirtan. So it must be for Krishna's pleasure. When we do kirtan, it must be for Krishna's pleasure. It's not for our pleasure, it's for Krishna's pleasure. If you're in front of the deities, you're doing that for Krishna. Right? So everything we do in devotional service, it is meant to be for Krishna's pleasure. If we do everything for Krishna's pleasure, we'll be happy. As soon as you do something in devotional service, but it's mixed with your own desires for your own satisfaction, then the pleasure reduces. And if you're doing it mainly for your satisfaction, then there's not much pleasure in there. That is just ahankara. Krishna says, you are vitutvatma, which means you're an ass. If you're just acting under false ego, then you're just an ass. And you won't get much pleasure.
But when you do the service for Krishna, for his pleasure, then you become very blissful in devotional service. You see, Prabhupada was always blissful because everything was just for Krishna's pleasure. So, any points?
Is it good to do the sankirtan so loud? It sometimes looks to me as if it is in fashion.
You are right.
So, which way should we do?
It should be for the pleasure of the deities. That's the point. If it's too loud, too passionate, then it's not so pleasant for the deities.
That's how I sometimes feel.
You're right. Sometimes kirtans are like
that. The temple is a lot small.
And they make too much noise. Sometimes. Just like if you go to the temples in Vrindavan, and they're having the aarti for the deities, and they're standing right there in front of the deities with a big gong. Going boom, boom, boom. I mean, how would you like it? You know, if someone comes into your house and you're sitting there and they start going boom, 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 dung, dung, boom, dung, dung, boom, dung, dung, boom, dung. It's not even pleasant. If you go to Radha Raman Mandir, Prabhupada told the devotees in Krishna Balaram Mandir, he said, if you want to learn deity worship, you go to Radha Raman Mandir, where they worship Radha Raman, which is the only original deity of the six Goswamis still in Vrindavan. All the other deities were moved out of Vrindavan. The only original deity, self-manifesting, is Radha Raman. And the standards there are very high. So Prabhupada told the devotees, if you want to learn deity worship, you should go to Radha Raman Mandir. The oven, which they cook the offerings for Radha Raman, it has not gone out for 350 years. They're cooking on cow dung for the deities, and the oven never goes out. It means, Prabhupada said, that is how regular the offerings are for the deities. The oven never goes out, the fire never goes out for 350 years. So it's a very high standard of deity worship. So Srila Prabhupada instructed the devotees, you go there, you will learn deity worship. So if you go there, you never hear, like, they're never smashing gongs in front of the deities, right? It's quite often you go there for aarti, there's nice flute music very softly playing in the background. Or sometimes the devotees will have bhajan in front of the deities, live bhajan in front of the deities. Very pleasant. But it's not like loud and noisy and like that. So everything should be for Krishna's pleasure. That's the point. So, any other point?
They are so, arranged everything so well there. I was reading that none of their jewelry is ever misplaced or lost anywhere. It's there from the beginning of time. All that in place. They're so good.
Gopal Bhatta, Goswami. You read the story about he was worshipping Shalagram under the basket, and then next day he took off the basket, and one of the Shalagram had turned into Radha Raman. Like that. And they say, if you look at the back, on his back, they say you can still see the Shalagram in the back of the deity, self-manifesting deity.
There are four deities, right?
Different temple. Radha Gokula Nanda or Radha Damodara.
Radha Shamsundar is also the original temple.
Not the original Radha Shamsundar. Pratibhu. Pratibhu means the... like replica deity. The original deities have been taken out of Vrindavan, but Radha Raman is the only one who is still there. He's the original. Someone there is original.
Yeah.
I don't know if Radha Shamsundar is original, but maybe some of the deities.
I specifically asked those people. Okay. That's not the other one gave to Shamsundar.
Yeah, the smaller, not the shorter.
Yeah, the smaller one. The for the loop, you know, the samsa.
I think the large one was moved.
Large one was the.
So the small one is the original. I don't go to that temple very much, Radha Shyama Sundara. I go to Radha Damodara and then I go to Radha Raman and Gokulam and I don't go so much. I don't know very much about Radha Shyama Sundara.
Very powerful.
Yeah, that temple is very powerful, that place. But I go more to Radha Damodara.
I read somewhere that even Radha Damodara temple, the deities have brought back from there.
Everyone's in Jaipur or Karoli or none of them are there. Everyone's been moved. Madan Mohan, Gopinath, Gokulananda. Everyone's open. You have to go to Jaipur to see. Okay. In the course of the evolutionary process, which is caused by fruitive activities due to undesirable material sense gratification, I have received this human form of life, which can lead to the heavenly planets, to liberation, to the lower species, or to rebirth among human beings. So, Priya Vishaka, you can read the first paragraph.
All living entities within this material world are undergoing the cycle of birth and death according to the laws of nature. This cycle of birth and death in different species may be called the evolutionary process, but in the Western world, it has been wrongly explained. Darwin's theory of evolution from animal to man is incomplete because the theory does not present the reverse condition, namely evolution from man to animal. In this world, however, evolution has been very well explained. On the strength of the Vedic authority, human life, which is obtained in the course of evolutionary process, is a chance for elevation or for the degradation. If one uses this human form of life properly, he can elevate himself to the higher planetary system, where material happiness is many thousands of times better than on this planet. Or one may cultivate knowledge by which to become free from the evolutionary process and be reinstated in one's original spiritual life. This is called upper varga or liberation.
Okay. So what are the points here?
Upavarga is upavarga represents the
higher. Yeah, the next paragraph then Prabhupada explains that. Yeah. We'll read the next paragraph as well. What are the points in this paragraph?
The Darwin's theory does not explain the reverse process, that a man, human life can degrade into animal life, whereas the Vedic life, Vedic culture or Vedic scripture says that for both ways it's possible. You can do an ascending or a descending process.
As the evolutionary cycle goes on and the consciousness develops, according to one's consciousness one can develop himself or degrade himself. So actually, there is no consciousness of the living entity. Either it can elevate itself to a higher platform or can elevate to a lower species together.
Any other points?
But going to the higher planetary system is not the use of the human life properly.
No, because you have to come back again.
Yes.
So Bhagavatam is telling us to take advantage of this human form of life, especially the particular situation we find ourselves in, because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his original form and Krishna in his original form, they only come once in a day at Brahma, which happens to be
1,000 Divya Yuga cycles. So this particular Divya Yuga cycle, Krishna himself, the original form of God, came 5,000 years ago. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the original form of Krishna, coming again, he came 500 years ago. So this is untold good fortune to be now here on the planet. So devotees, we have to take advantage of our good fortune. Finish it all up in this lifetime. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared to deliver all the conditioned souls very easily. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur describes, just like sometimes, we've given this example before, just like sometimes the king becomes intoxicated. So when the king is intoxicated, sometimes he goes into the treasury and he takes his most valuable jewels and he walks out onto the street and he starts giving them out to everyone on the street. He says, here, just take it. And everyone thinks, what's wrong with the king? Because the king is intoxicated. He's giving out the most precious things for free. Take it, no problem. Like that. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is like that, the acharyas describe. He is so absorbed in Krishna prema, or love for Krishna, and he is so blissful, he's just giving what is the most valuable thing to the most unqualified people. So he gives us love for Krishna freely. And we have to give very little in return, just some shraddhas, just some faith. So this is the great fortune. So we have to take advantage of this. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he expected all his disciples to go back to Godhead in this lifetime. Don't wait for the next lifetime. Go back to Godhead in this lifetime. So if we're just serious in Krishna consciousness, sincere and faithful to Guru and to Krishna, we can go back to the spiritual world in this lifetime. That's all we have to do. Prabhupada said, just chant 16 rounds attentively, follow the four regulative principles, spread Krishna consciousness, and in this lifetime you will go back home, back to Godhead. That is the potency of this process. So don't waste time. Take advantage. Any points? Part of Goloka, Vrindavan, part of it is called Svetadvip. So it's described in different ways, but it means that Mahaprabhu also has his island, Navadvip or Svetadvip, in the Goloka planet.
More powerful because they have Radha and Krishna together. And Krishna is Radha is separately. So Mahaprabhu is there all the time. So Radha is separate.
Well, he's the combined form of this. So. Any else?
Prabhupada also, I think one of the reporters in England has asked Prabhupada, why did you come to England? And then Prabhupada said that Britishers have plundered, but they have plundered only jewelry, but the most valuable jewel they did not understand and have come here to deliver that most valuable jewel to you all.
Okay, so we'll read the next paragraph. Sharada Rata. Rata.
Media land is called Prabhupada, because here we are subject to five different states of suffering, represented by the letters pa, pa, ba, ba, ma. Pa means parishram, very hard labor. Pa means pain or foam from the mouth. For example, sometimes we see a horse foaming at the mouth with heavy labor. Pa means death. Vyathala. Vyathala. It means disappointment. In spite of so much hard labor, at the end we find disappointment. Va means hair or fear. in material eyes, one is always in the blazing fire of fear. Since no one knows what will happen next. Finally, ma means mrityu, or death. When one attempts to nullify these five different status of life, bhava bhava ma, one achieves upper vaga, or liberation from punishment of material condition.
So what are the points in this paragraph?
Yes, so they are, this material world is so troublesome. Whatever you do, you won't get any happiness. So you better depend on God and get up a burger.
Any other points?
Whatever we do is based up and in the love of Krishna. So it indicates how it's.
And the next verse to watch is that apavargasya, apavargasya. The next verse says that apavarga, this is pavarga, apavarga. Then apavarga we have to
beyond that. When I read this through, I find that internally I'm thinking, oh, this is not applicable to me, it is applicable to others. But actually, I'm also doing the same thing. Right from morning till evening, I'm also working hard, sweating, bringing out the home, hard labor, buying this item, purchasing property, doing that, this investment, that investment. And by the same time, I have the audacity to think that, well, this is not applicable to me. I'm sick. It is only for others. So that's the foolishness in this country that he has bought.
Thank you, Shaita. So if we read this paragraph, then we should give up all of our attempts to be happy in this world. Because there is not happiness in this world. There is only suffering. Basically, you work hard, and for your hard work, you simply get difficulty, suffering, dissatisfaction, and then you die. And that's the material world. Right? And we do the same thing lifetime after lifetime. We work very hard, we suffer, and then we die. And that's the material world. So we should realize this point. The Bhagavad Gita is teaching us that you cannot be happy in this material world. So give up your attempts to enjoy separately from Krishna. Give up your attempts to be independent from Krishna. Because devotional life is very blissful. We can live in this world. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur says there is nothing lacking in this world except Krishna consciousness. If you're Krishna consciousness, you'll be very happy in this world. Except for all the miseries you go through. But besides that, you'll be very happy. And the miseries are just reminders that this is not our home. We do not belong here. We're not meant to be here. That's the point. We're meant to be in another world with Krishna. So, sooner or later, we have to learn this point. So the material energy is just teaching us this. So, for the non-devotees, death is very unattractive. But for the devotees, Radhana Swami says, death is all attractive. Because death means we'll be united with Krishna once again. So Prabhupada says the devotee has no fear of death. An advanced devotee has no fear of death. Most of us are probably very scared of death. But the advanced devotee is not scared, because they realize it's simply an opportunity to meet Krishna once again and serve Krishna once again. Any points?
When Sridhara Goswami was so disgusted, he didn't want to come out for 15, 16 years. And at the end, when he came out, he just wanted to be with him. And then he heard the verses spoken by the disciples of his father. and that was about a putna, a hopati, you know, that verse. And then he had Varha Piram, that Varha Karna, Karna Karam. And when he heard this, he got so attracted to Krishna. Then he came back and he wanted to read all the Bhagavatam. And so if he somehow gets attracted to Krishna, that is the only thing which is causing the problem.
I think just extending more censorship for this electronic thing. I think if you're in the Rajasthan ashram, those are the things you have to go through. Because it's easy to look over your head and towards education and things. It's something you just have to go through. So I suppose you can't give it up, like you said in the previous chapter, you just have to wait for a period in life and you can do that. I mean, if you give it up now, you just have to come to the mom and again have some small fulfillment. So I think realizing that this is for a few times, that you should carry on doing the election service, and at some point, the two were simply fulfilled, but it's a few times. You get totally disconnected. I think it's good to realize that this is all futile, that you still have to stick to do the hard work.
Yeah.
That's what I'm doing.
Yeah, devotees should make as much money as they can and do as little work as they can.
It would be good to be like the Vatican, or watching a documentary all day and you've got hundreds and hundreds of people. It's like a mini city with their own currency. Hopefully we can build this concept such a way and for future generations that we can just work with and know that.
Yeah, they're 2,000 years ahead of us. That's why they're... Okay, any other points?
So I think it is incorrect thinking about consciousness to think that we are the spirit soul, because we are not just the spirit soul. In this life or in the body, we are a combination of spirit, soul and the material energy. So on the one side I have the material energy as a circle, and I've got the spirit, soul as a circle. It's a union of these two in the center. We normally in mathematics we draw this diagram, we call them Venn diagram. So I've got the material energy, I've got the spiritual energy. I am not just the material energy, not just the spiritual energy, but I'm a combination of these two. Therefore, these two circles meet in the center and that's a common zone. And because of that, I find that I'm entangled both in the material nature and also partly the spiritual. But my focus should be such that it should not be towards the material energy, but towards the spiritual energy. But that's the point which we are missing.
Whatever works for you.
Yes.
If you want to think of it like that, you can think of it like that. We should think as Krishna teaches us in the Gita. So Krishna says, Ahankara. So Krishna explains that we are Kataham. We are the doer and the material body. He explains in the 15th chapter that there is Paraprakriti, there is Aparaprakriti. He explains these things. And he explains that we are Chetra, Gya, and there is Chetra. There's a difference like that. So. As long as you understand things properly.
Yeah, because this is how I was explaining my Bhagavad Gita. I said these are the two energies. And
so probably the only thing is, to say that we are both, we're not both. That's not what Krishna says. Krishna doesn't say in the Gita we are both. He says we are a soul trapped in the material
so
world.
Therefore, the central piece says that.
So it's relevant to us. The material energy is relevant to us because we're in it at this point in time. But we are not factually connected to it. So as long as you explain it properly, then. Okay. In this human form of life, a man and woman unite for the sensual pleasure of sex. But by actual experience, we have observed that none of them are happy. Therefore, seeing the contrary results, I have stopped taking part in materialistic activities. So,
Jamuna Jivan Prabhu.
As stated by Prahlad Maharaj, Yen Maitana the Guru made to come peace to Chan. Men and women both seek sexual enjoyment, and when they are united by the ritualistic ceremony of marriage, they are happy for some time, but finally, the decision, and thus there are so many cases of separation and divorce. Although every man and woman is actually eager to enjoy life through sexual unity, the result is disunity and distress. Marriage is recommended to give men and women a concession for restricted sex life, which is also recommended in Bhagavad Gita by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Dharma virudo bhuteshu kamosmi. Sex life not against principles of religion is Krishna. Every living entity is always eager to enjoy sex life because materialistic life consists of eating, sleeping, sex and fear. In animal life, eating, sleeping, sexual enjoyment and fear cannot be regulated. But for human society, the plan is that although men, like animals, must be allowed to eat, sleep, enjoy sex and take protection from fear, they must be regulated. The Vedic plan for eating recommends that one take yajna-shishta or prasada, food offered to Krishna. Yajna-shishta-shinat-santo-muchyante-sarva-kilbisha. The devotees of Lord are released from all kinds of sins because they eat food that is offered first for sacrifice, Bhagavad Gita 3.13. In material life, one commits sinful activities, especially in eating, and because of sinful activities, one is condemned by nature's laws to accept another body, which is imposed as punishment. Sex and eating are essential, and therefore they are offered to human society under Vedic restrictions, so that, according to the Vedic injunctions, people may eat, sleep, enjoy sex, be protected from fearful life, and gradually be elevated and liberated from the punishment of material existence. Thus, the Vedic injunctions for marriage offers a concession to human society. The idea being that a man and woman united in a ritualistic ceremony, marriage ceremony, should help one another advance in spiritual life. Unfortunately, especially in this age, men and women unite for unrestricted sexual enjoyment. Thus, they are victimized, being obliged to take rebirth in the forms of animals to fulfill their animalistic propensities. The Vedic injunctions therefore warn, Nayam deho deha bhajam naloke kastan kaman arhate vidbhujam ye. One should not enjoy sex life like hogs and eat everything, even to the limits of stool. A human being should eat prasada offered to the deity and should enjoy sex life according to the Vedic injunctions. He should engage himself in the business of Krishna consciousness. He should save himself from the fearful condition of material existence. And he should sleep only to recover from fatigue due to working hard. The learned Brahmana said that since everything is misused by the fruitive workers, he has retired from all fruitive activities.
So Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita that passion, any activity which is performed in the mode of passion, is like amrita in the beginning, but it's like poison at the end. Whereas when you're in the mode of goodness, the activity, it may seem restrictive in the beginning, but long term it will give you much greater pleasure. So the defect in modern society is that modern society is in the mode of passion and the mode of ignorance. And therefore everyone wants pleasure immediately. But when you want pleasure in the mode of passion, you have to understand that it will lead to distress in the future. So therefore people unite, male and female, they become attracted to each other because it's based upon passion in the beginning, it leads to distress. And that's why we see in America, for example, the divorce rate is above 50%. It's 75, isn't it? Is it that high? Wow. So such a high divorce rate is because everything is based upon the mode of passion. Whereas in the mode of goodness, everything is based on duty. When you're in the mode of goodness, you are dutiful. So even though things may be difficult, because Srila Prabhupada himself has said, man is good, woman is good, but together they are bad. So what will you do? Lord Brahma has already said about women. He said, you cannot live with them and you cannot live without them. So it's a big problem. So men and women, there will always be problems in the material world if it's based on passion. But if it's based on goodness, it leads to progress in spiritual life. So we have to learn to be dutiful, and we have to learn to live in the mode of goodness and to deal with each other in the mode of goodness. As long as the mode of passion is overly prevalent, which it is in modern society, then you see there's so many difficulties. And men and women find it very difficult to coexist. So what does it mean that men and women will associate in the mode of goodness? In the mode of goodness, it means there's segregation. This is the mode of goodness. Like the men are on one side, the women are on the other side. That's segregation of the sexes. That's in the mode of goodness. Mode of passion means all the boys and girls will be together. But then it is like butter and fire, as Prahlad Maharaj has described. Everyone becomes weakened. So the mode of goodness means there must be segregation of the sexes and must be limited association, even between husband and wife. Illicit sex is not allowed for initiated devotees in ISKCON. So there has to be some prohibition, some regulation, some restriction. That is the mode of goodness. So that may be difficult in the beginning, but long term that will lead you to a much higher state of pleasure through Krishna consciousness. So there has to be regulation. That is the mode of goodness. So devotees, we live in the mode of goodness. We aspire to practice devotional service in the mode of goodness. Prabhupada explains that when you practice devotional service in the mode of goodness, it is easy to progress. He says that mode of goodness is a springboard to pure goodness. But you cannot become cannot become completely Krishna conscious from the mode of passion. It's not possible. You can make advancement, but you won't become completely Krishna conscious. So eventually you have to regulate your senses, you have to control your senses, and you have to practice brahmacharya even in grihastha ashram. And by regulated mode of goodness living, then you advance very quickly in Krishna consciousness. So then Srila Prabhupada says at the end of the purport that basically he's referring to the teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, asatsanga tyaga, vivaishnavacha. Devotees have to learn to reduce their association with the non-devotees. Because if you associate with the non-devotees, the way they associate in terms of their dealings between each other with the opposite sex and the whole mentality which is there at this point in time in modern society, then devotees will become very affected by that and will develop material consciousness, material desires, and will want to be like the non-devotees. We want to dress like them, we want to act and behave like them, but it's all based on the mode of passion. And then you'll see that our lives will simply become chaotic. So therefore we have to reduce our association with the material energy. Only associate with the material energy as much as you need to. As we said before, work as little as you can and make as much money as you can. Right? If you can somehow work it out that you only have to do 1 hour of work at your job every day and take all the money, then do it. Right? And the rest of the time practice Krishna consciousness. Just work out how to do it. Actually, what needs to happen, devotees need to develop businesses together so they can all work. Devotees can work together. Yeah, that's what we need to do. And that actually, as we've pointed out, the Mormons are doing that. The Jewish, yeah. They're brilliant at doing it. The Jewish, the Amish are doing it. The Mormons are doing it. The Jehovah's Witnesses are doing it. Seventh-day Adventists are doing it. And we have to learn to do that in this time. That's the only way it's going to work. Devotees have to get together. So we all have to put our brains together.
Do you have an example? An example of how...
In ISKCON?
Anywhere, something they're
focusing on together. Well, there's many things, but even in ISKCON, there's devotees in the UK who are running a cheesecake business. They're grihasthas, they're just making cheesecakes in a factory, and it's all prasadam. and they're just pumping them out. So, Prabhupada, he did say that the grihastas should open restaurants. He said that. So if the devotees get together, I mean, there's many successful restaurants. It's a challenge, but it's like any, it's a business risk. Everything's a risk, but that's one thing devotees can do. But there's other ideas also.
Restaurants don't work.
Oh, sorry, a lot of work. Yeah, restaurants, there are a lot of work.
Some nighttime, you have restaurants.
It is a lot of work, but if you go to Byron Bay, so Byron Bay is an hour and a half below, or one and a half to two hours below Brisbane, and then you have the Gold Coast, and then above Brisbane is the Sunshine Coast. So if you travel 3 hours from an hour and a half above Brisbane to an hour and a half below Brisbane, there are 13 devotee restaurants. So it does work. And Murari Chaitanya Prabhu, who used to be here in Melbourne for many years, he's been running a restaurant up there for years. And another devotee, Subhadra Prabhu, who is a good friend of mine, and we're brahmacharis together, he opened a restaurant up there, and for the first 4 years, he had to work very hard to get that restaurant going in Byron Bay. It's called the Cardamom Pot. Yeah, it's a nice restaurant. But now, he doesn't even work in the restaurant, because after 4 years of working hard, now it's picked up. He doesn't even work there anymore. He just manages. And he's opened a second one in near Burleigh Heads, near the other one, on the Gold Coast. And he's opened his Thai massage businesses. You know, all around the place now, you get these Thai massages all over the place. Probably everywhere you go, every street, they have a Thai. So he owns about three or four of them. So we've just got to think of ways to, like that. Everyone work together in, you know, different ways. But we need to do that. Devotees should work together. We shouldn't have to go and work with it, because it's polluting to work with the non-devotees all day. They talk garbage. They're very crass. Their habits are not good. Their speech is not good. It's not. You know, we don't want to work with non-devotees. So we have to organize ways for devotees to come together.
Does this happen organically through the congregation? Or does it have to be...
Nothing to do with the temple. Nothing to do with the temple. It's congregation. I was actually listening on the radio on the way up, and there's one party. They got one guy. He ran for election, an independent person, and he actually won. And he's going to be part of the Senate now in Australia. And it's very interesting to hear his philosophy. He says the government should not have so much to do with the citizens. The government should just run things, but the citizens don't have to be told about everything by the government. There doesn't have to be laws for everything. And if you look in the Vedic times, and even if you look at India now, it's very much like that. Like, you have the government, but what goes on in the village doesn't have that much to do with the government, in one sense. Like, the law is really kept by the village. If someone breaks the law in the village come out and they beat the guy. You know, everyone in the village, they just come, you know, don't call the police. You just go and get the guy and just beat him. Right, that's it. That's how you run the village. So this person was actually saying, he's saying this is more how society should be. So it's not that we have to go to the temple to say, you know, what should we do? Well, I think devotees should just get together and they should just open business, open restaurants and open businesses and work together, somehow do it together like that. And then give money to the temple. Yeah, give a percentage. You know, 10% of whatever we make, we'll give it to the temple. That's how it should be. Any other points? Yeah, we have to do it.
In India, there are two communities, Prabhu. One is the Agarwal community, or the Marwari community. We had a tenant, Marwari, in Hyderabad, and he used to say that if I take up a job, I won't be given a girl in marriage. So therefore, in our community, if they want to get married, they should have a business. Otherwise, they can't even get married. And the second community, of course, is not this strict, but people from Gujarat, they are the entrepreneurs. You can see that anyone from Gujarat, few people are here, of course, they are not in starting, they are not doing business, but otherwise, the leaders are in leading business community in India is from Gujarat. Entire USA, the motor industry
has been swallowed by the Virathis. In fact, if you say Patel, you won't be given a visa to US. It is so so much there. And one should not be surprised, in the next 50 years, one Patel will become US president there.
Somebody won't understand.
Yeah, I don't trust Gujarati.
Actually, having said that, the Jewish people, I used to deal with quite a few when I was in the banking, and apparently their community is so tight-knit that they have very high-class business entrepreneurs, and these guys are worth hundreds of millions of dollars, each individuals. And what they do is they basically help each and every individual Jewish person to actually start a business or buy a house. They would not go to the bank. And these people actually pay the entrepreneurs back. So it's basically within the community. It's not going outside. And they have so much trust and faith in each other, they would not let each other down.
The investment landmark, they are mostly, they said, best business in the world on the land is land. There's no other business. Yes. You invest in the land, you never lose.
And you see, that's actually the Vedic system. In the Vedic system, there's no banks. The banks are a recent invention. You know, in the Vedic system, it was your family who set you up, looked after you. If you see in India now, it's still the same. You go down Lloyd Bazaar, right? And it's all it's just
my
the family. Yeah, it's grandfather, father, and the sons take over the business. No anxiety, just take over the business, then you get all the money, and that's how it works.
It's a goodwill. Yeah, goodwill means so, and that's really passed on to the children.
Yeah. We have to be smart. The point is, we're in the material world, we're suffering, we have to get out quickly. Right? So do as little materially as you need to do just to get out quickly. Right? Make a lot of money quickly. Work 1 hour a day, make a lot of money, employ all the other devotees, and chant Hare Krishna and just get out. That should be our system. The actual form of life for the living entities is one of spiritual happiness, which is real happiness. This happiness can be achieved only when one stops all materialistic activities. Material sense enjoyment is simply imagination. Therefore, considering this subject matter, I have ceased all material activities and am lying down here. So Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur points out that renunciation leads to real happiness. That's why we have to cultivate renunciation as devotees. Right? We become renounced. Right? The more renounced you become, the happier you'll be. The more attached you are, the more anxiety you have. Right? You know, every year, if you go to India, right? If you have a lot of material possessions, right? You're on the plane, you're thinking, did I turn off my lights? Is my car going to be stolen? Right? You're thinking of all your material possessions like that. But if you don't have much, if you're renounced, you don't even think about it. Right? So that is how devotees should live. We should renounce. Because renunciation leads to happiness. Material society tells us the opposite. The more you get, the happier you'll be. But we're not seeing it. We're not seeing it. I give examples from my own family. We're not seeing it. Working so hard, but they're not happy.
Even possessing so many houses, so much property everywhere. When we die, we can't think of, we'll be worrying about that, who will enjoy, what will happen. Who will take whatever, you know, that type of consciousness will die. But if you are very simple, like, don't worry about it, think of Krishna.
Actually, one of the curses of being born in an urban servant setting, to live simply, it's not considered as the right way of living. You have to amass wealth, you have to succeed, achieve, you have to be top of the game, and you take yourself up to 60. If you don't do it, and because you are caught up in the city, you don't know any, you don't even have knowledge of the plant, just one plant. So there's no skill. Basically, we might have skills in financial planning or IT or something, but real life skills. not taught in school.
Yeah, artificial lifestyle.
The highest number of suicidal rates is amongst millennials in America. People who are sort of having opulence, they are the ones who are feeling distressed because they are lonely. They don't know what to do with their money. They die.
Okay. In this way, the conditioned soul, living within the body, forgets his self-interest because he identifies himself with the body. Because the body is material, his natural tendency is to be attracted by the varieties of the material world. Thus, the living entity suffers the miseries of material existence. Just as a deer, because of ignorance, cannot see the water within a well covered by grass, but runs after water elsewhere, the living entity covered by the material body does not see the happiness within himself, but runs after happiness in the material world. The living entity tries to achieve happiness and rid himself of the causes of distress. But because the various bodies of the living entities are under the full control of material nature, all his plans in different bodies, one after another, are ultimately baffled. Materialistic activities are always mixed with three kinds of miserable conditions: adhyatmika, adhidevika, and adhibhautika. Therefore, even if one achieves some success by performing such activities, what is the benefit of this success? One is still subjected to birth, death, old age, disease, and the reactions of his fruitive activities. So Prabhupada would often quote one poet, was it Chandidas? Prabhupada would say that material happiness is like a mirage in the desert. So in the desert, you think you're going to get to the water, and the water is going to give you relief, but the water, when you actually get there, it's not actually there. It's a reflection of the ocean, which is far away. But sometimes in the desert, in the hot climate, then you'll see it looks like there's water there, and you think when you get there, then you'll be satisfied, but you never actually get there. So that is the nature of the material world. We think that we'll be happy eventually, but we never actually get there. Complete happiness. And even when you feel really happy in the material world, the next day it usually finishes anyway. So that is the nature of the material world. So Prabhupada says, it is a mirage. And it appears that it will give us pleasure, but it won't. So don't spend all your energy on a mirage. Don't spend your energy trying to get to something which isn't actually there. As Ambarish Prabhu, who is Alfred Ford, who is a multi-millionaire, he says, I have everything that all of you are working for. You're all working to be rich. I'm already rich. I was born rich. But he said, I can tell you there's nothing in it. Everything that everyone wants, I have it already, but there's nothing in it. Materially speaking, there's no satisfaction. So the real answer is Krishna consciousness.
So people say that you need to be people like that. They say, when we come to what you are, then we'll do that. They have not experienced that. So they don't understand that. So you go to money, that's what you're talking about.
It's like you waste a lot of time.
Yeah.
I think it is in chasing money and the wealth, people get a thrill or a kick, which if you don't get in spiritual life, you will not go after it. So that thrill one should receive in spiritual life, then he will leave the material life. Till then, he will continue to be on the material path, because that gives the titillating effect. I just said, well, I may not have God today, but tomorrow I'll get it. If not tomorrow, now tomorrow I'll get it. So that keeps him going.
Yeah, everyone likes a challenge. But then we waste a lot of time in the material world. by trying to achieve things which don't give ultimate. Better to challenge yourself with Krishna consciousness, because it's not easy to become an advanced Vaishnava. So at least we should put the effort into trying to do that. It's true, because when you get a little of money, automatically your mind starts becoming bewildered. You see, when you get some, you know, it's alright to be renounced when you haven't got it, but then suddenly when you get some money, then your mind starts going, oh, well, actually I can do all these things.
Well, then you get your spiritual life also gig, otherwise Sudeva Goswami wouldn't have come back.
It was
such a big gig. He wanted to leave everything, but he came back to the study of Ravana and said, nothing can come back.
Seems like it.
Yeah.
You keep coming back, so.
I went to a casino one night. I went $300. I came home. I never slept all night. I said, if I would be there, I might get 1,000. Next day, I went back again. I lost the 600. I never went back again. There's money like this. I never seen a casino after.
Life
is so
good, I can't
say no more. Well, thank you. I'm talking about 25 years ago. Yeah. Because, you know, this opened in a stadium, you know, it was a big game.
Okay. The Brahmana continued. I am actually seeing how a rich man who is a victim of his senses is very greedy to accumulate wealth and therefore suffers from insomnia due to fear from all sides, despite his wealth and opulence. Yeah, these are very nice verses. Those who are considered materially powerful and rich are always full of anxieties because of governmental laws, thieves and rogues, enemies, family members, animals, birds, persons seeking charity, the inevitable time factor, and even their own selves. Thus they are invariably afraid. Those in human society who are intelligent should give up the original cause of lamentation, illusion, fear, anger, attachment, poverty, and unnecessary labor. The original cause of all of these, is the desire for unnecessary prestige and money. So it's interesting, in these last few paragraphs, Srila Prabhupada says, we should use the money to spread the Krishna consciousness movement. And Prabhupada says in this particular purport, verse 34, he says, what was his division of the wealth in ISKCON? He said 50% of all the wealth in ISKCON should be used to print books. That was Prabhupada's formula when he was here on the planet. 50% of all the wealth was used to print books, to distribute more books and more books and more books. And then the other 50% was used to build temples. So Prabhupada said that should be our system. All the money that we get, it should be used for ISKCON. As much as we can accumulate, it should be used for ISKCON. And when it is given to ISKCON, it should be used for book distribution and building temples. That is the system.
Is that formula followed in this temple?
No, I mean, 50, it's not. I mean, most of it goes for maintenance. We don't use anywhere near 50% for book distribution. But we should increase the book distribution. The book distribution is down worldwide. The GBC are concerned about it. There should be more book distribution taking place. Okay. Srila Prabhupada ki. So tomorrow.